Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hola, buenos dias, bonjour, guten Abend.
Hello, Steve. This is Jennifer Wakeman sitting in for Kevin Herr. Since you've been maligning news people trying to do sports for the last 2 days.
Oh, my goodness. There's nothing worse. there's nothing worse.
I resemble that remark.
And then there's the sports people that try to do news.
Oh, please don't even get me started.
Well, unfortunately, if I were to get you started, I probably would agree with everything you say about it because it's just a train wreck.
Steve, this just in: they did not raise interest rates earlier today.
I could have told you that, Kevin. I am the news person, you know.
I already
knew that.
I was just trying to do news.
And some guy was suspended at Rutgers yesterday or something.
Right. And, you know, when it comes to interest rates, right, you should see what I charge interest to Kevin when he wants money. now that's an interest rate. And I can tell you right now, the Fed didn't set that rate.
It's compounded secondly. And I'm not interested in his rate. I can tell you that right now.
Wow. This show is off to a great start.
Oh, no, we've hit the accelerator, and we're headed right straight to the abyss.
We were already pointed there. I mean, you know.
Yes, that's when you came on. Jennifer and I were bonding.
Oh, yeah.
We were having a moment.
Jennifer and I were bonding. Things were going well. I was about to tell her how great she sounds on Sunrise.
Thank you. Then all of a sudden,
out of nowhere, Party Crasher shows
up. You both know that I actually have control of this program and can shut you both off, right? You do know that. I mean, it's not a career move for me. Don't get me wrong, but
Jennifer, I believe.
Yes, Steve.
I believe one quick text to Roger will take care of that.
Not a problem.
As I said, not necessarily a career move.
Yes, and then for the rest of your life, you're going to have to spend 2 hours talking to me every day. And I'll say, that's great, Steve. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Stop dangling the carrot.
Nobody said it was a downgrade from what he already has. All right?
Stop dangling the carrot. Did you send me your daily? Let's see, here's the daily Kevin Herr email. This is always exciting, Jennifer.
Oh, I can hardly wait.
High school football preview. Considering that was my idea, I kind of assumed we were going to do it.
It's a good idea. Let's do that.
Recap on Rutgers. Okay. How does one spell train wreck?
That pretty much sums it up.
Hall of Fame predictions. I think Jennifer will get there. I think you're a long shot.
Darn it. If Jerome Bettis makes it, I can make it too.
Oh, please.
Preview of tonight's game. And Jennifer,
yes.
Well said. Preview of tonight's game. Why is everyone saying Peyton, and that's P-E-Y-T-O-N?
Yeah, I know I spelled it wrong.
Can't have
wow,
a bad
even
game.
I know how to spell his name.
What are your good Peyton Manning story? True story?
Sure.
I saw Matt Millen this morning, and Matt's going to be doing the game on Big Ten Network Saturday night. And so he and I were kidding around about a couple things, about Jack and so forth. And all of a sudden he pulls out his phone, and it's a flip phone. Right? I looked at him, I said, a flip phone? He says, yeah. He says, I was down doing the Maxwell Awards. He said, and Chip Kelly comes up to me and he says, what is that? He says, it's a flip phone. And he's telling me how John Madden, when he texts on one of those things, he said, Madden had those gigantic fingers and the words didn't come out right. Well, they were honoring Peyton Manning at the Maxwell, and Manning walks by and says, hey, flip phone. And Manning takes one out and he has one too.
So you're telling me that Peyton Manning is technologically challenged.
He has a flip phone.
Yeah, same thing.
Even Steve doesn't have a flip phone. And he doesn't. And he's not a Twitter guy.
No, I'm not. And Matt and I did talk today about social media and your stance on social media. and his stance on social media, he doesn't agree with you. Okay.
I think it's just because Steve can't talk in 140 characters or less.
I can't do anything in 140 characters. Hey,
listen, that's not easy.
Have you heard this show?
Yes, every afternoon from 3 to 5. Yes, as a matter of fact, I have.
Okay, all right. How's one? Okay, I can spell your situation in 7 letters. Hostage. All right. Okay. Why do some people feel week 2 is a must win, especially with a week 1 loss? Oh, no, because you like to be 1-1. Rams teaching football in a new way to their young team. Well, these are your topics.
Well, I was looking for to expound a little more. And by the way, this is a good topic. This is a really good story if you haven't read it in the Wall Street Journal yet.
Kevin reads the Wall Street Journal? That's the lost lead right there. Kevin reads the Wall Street Journal?
Well, it's on my flipboard.
Once again, we're near the Grand Canyon, and we're at the top rim.
Should I just go off and do news now?
10 feet, 5 feet, we're getting closer. And finally, yes, the Rams teaching football a new way to their young team. Wall Street Journal story. I was talking to somebody else about that the other day, and I said, oh, imagine what Joe would say.
You know, the thought crossed my mind when I was reading that story and thinking about bringing it up to you. I would love to have seen what he would have thought of that.
Yeah.
That's probably a direct quote, yes.
You know how many times I heard that, Jennifer, in my lifetime?
I can only imagine.
I mean, the Rams actually brought in, they actually brought in consultants to talk with the coaching staff on how to teach their style of football to the millennials that they have. They have the youngest team in the NFL. And Fisher was saying, you know, that they have to realize that it is possible for them to focus on something, still have their phone in their hand and their tablet in the other hand, and still be able to understand what's going on.
And now you know how I feel every day, Jennifer.
Yeah, but I can see him from where I'm sitting.
I can understand.
And see, a lot of millennials have the same problem I do. I have the attention span of a gnat.
Nobody's picked up on that.
Squirrel.
I kind of have the same problem.
Yeah, but the presentation's different, so it's acceptable.
Thank
all right, get
much.
To the newsroom, will you?
All right, I have to go do news now. I'm going to go do my real job. You guys have fun.
This is what we do every day. We're always having fun. Rutgers, Norris Wilson will be the coach. Kyle Flood can coach practice. He can't coach the games.
Okay, does that seem weird to anybody else or just me?
You got me, Pete.
I don't get that. What? If you're suspended, you're suspended. How can you be not only half suspended?
I'm just telling you what the story is.
No, I'm asking. I'm hoping there's something I'm not seeing in this. It just doesn't seem. You can coach. Okay, here's what we're gonna do. We want you to coach practice, but please do not coach in the game.
Very angry, bitter guy.
Just confusing. Well, I mean, if you're going to, you can't half suspend someone.
Well, look, they have major issues there.
You talk about the abyss. That's the Rutgers athletic program right now.
Well, you know, I just, his is pretty cut and dry because you have a report and he's accepted the report. And I don't know. You have a report with him, and what he did is absolutely wrong. There's no getting around it. It is a standard at every university. This is not one of those situations where, well, there's some gray area. There is no gray area. The Rutgers policy is the same as everybody else's policy. It's the same.
What's the setup? What's the situation when a player is not academically eligible to play? Who contacts the coach, and then what's the process? Let me ask you that. I mean, I know how it happens in high school, but that's a big difference from what we're talking about here.
Well, it's the academic advisor. The academic advisor is allowed to have contact with the professor and vice versa. And that's who the go-between happens to be. It's the academic advisor for the football program. So, for example, if the academic advisor for the football program can contact and say, saw the grades, is there anything they can do extra, or is this final? It's final. That's it. We're done. Then you report back to the coach. You can do that. Right? You're allowed to do that. It's the academic advisor that can do that. The coach can't do it. Is not allowed in any way, shape, or form. Nor should the professor. Now here's the next step. Nor should the professor get in touch with the coach. And it, I mean, shouldn't do that. Scott Weibel sent this email to me. For what it's worth, I am a professor at another Big Ten university. I direct a writing program that delivers a junior-level writing course required of all undergraduates. I have on several occasions had conversations about academic performance of student-athletes on the football team, but it's always been a conversation with the athletic department's academic support director for the football team. Exactly right. Never, ever directly with any member of the coaching staff. These actions by Kyle Flood truly are a major violation, and given the repeated nature of his contact with the faculty member, I'm a bit surprised the suspension is only for 3 games. Scott is exactly right. You know what the rules are. I've only had, in my teaching experience, I have only had one student athlete missing a series of classes where I felt I had to say something. I contacted the academic advisor to say, at the moment, this student athlete is failing. Right? I said, this is just to inform you of that. Now, we have to do monthly reports anyway. And in the monthly report, on any student athlete I have to do a monthly report on each one that goes to the Morgan Academic Support Center and is forwarded to whomever the academic advisor happens to be that is with that sport. And if they're in trouble, then there'll be contact probably by the academic advisor with the student to then get in touch with the professor. I've only had one where I had to do that with, and I directly contacted the academic advisor to inform him that the student athlete was currently failing, and the reason the student athlete was failing is because that individual was not attending class. The student then got in touch with me and then attended every class the rest of the semester and ended up, to the student athlete's credit, doing extremely well in class. But that is how you do it. You know, there was no thought whatsoever at all on my part of getting in touch with the coach of the team. None. Zero. You know, it's always done by getting in touch with the academic advisor, and that's the person you deal with, right? If the coach were to contact me, I'd hang the phone up. Simple as that. Not allowed to. I'm not going to talk to you. And nor would a coach ever call me. They know the rules. And these were repeatedly done, including a meeting outside the public library downtown.
I'm curious, is there any discussion of whether the professor or person on the other end of this phone call or conversation, if there's any disciplinary action there for actually meeting or not attempting to leave or whatever?
No.
Should there be?
No, there shouldn't be. I mean, that professor is placed between a rock and a hard place.
I agree with you. I'm just asking the question because I don't think they should be either.
There should not be in any way, shape, or form. It all falls on the coach. This is not a difficult rule. If you notice in the Rutgers report, the opening paragraph, and it's only a paragraph, is the rule. It's really that simple.
It is very black and white when you read yesterday.
Right. It's exactly right. It's a good way of putting it. It's black and white. So he's out 3 games.
But only 3 games, not the practices. Keep that in mind.
Right. We will come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. This year marks Sunbury Motor Company's 100th year in business, and we will be keeping the same tried and true values we've had ever since we opened our doors, guaranteeing your car buying experience will be smooth and hassle-free. No spinning a wheel for specials you don't need or want. No pushy sales staff pouncing on you as soon as you arrive. No sideshow yelling. Since we began back in 1915, we have strived to be your most trusted friend when it comes to all of your new car needs, whether that's in sales or service. We strive to offer you as many viable options as we possibly can. Sunbury Motor Company always carries a line of few other auto dealers in our area can compete with. With our inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there should be no problems with finding the right vehicle to fit your needs. Our friendly and trustworthy staff is knowledgeable in all of our products and stand ready to answer all of your questions and meet all of your needs. In honor of 100 years in business, SMC is introducing the all-new Auto Club, where Sunbury Motors will pay you for every mile you drive. Be sure to ask us about our Auto Club benefits. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and at sunburymotors.com. Proudly owned by the Mertz family since 1915. The Rutgers fight song.
Rutgers.
Played during kick and punt returns by Jadarian Grant. In fact, they play it before. In fact, they play the fight song right before he returns the kick in anticipation. he's going to bring it back. I'm telling you, he's going to bring it back.
That's get ready, get ready, get ready. Game.
That's a big part of this game. You got to keep the ball out of his hands. You have no choice. You have to.
I see you more and
keep
more,
the ball out of his hands.
I see more and more teams not punting away or kicking away from an impressive returner. Why would you not want to do that?
What, kicking right at them or kicking away from them?
No, why would you not want to kick away from them? Why do you keep kicking at a guy that you know has a chance to return it or historically can return them big? Why not kick it away? Kick it out of bounds. Kick it where he doesn't touch the ball. I see more and more teams at every level just kicking it right to him.
You want to know why?
Please tell me.
Because they're not very good at kicking it away.
All right, that explains it.
I mean, that, seriously. Hey, angle it to the sideline. Eh, it's a 26-yard punt. You're like, well, great. Well, then why did we bother doing that?
That is a lost art in football right now, is angling it out of bounds or coffin corner and things like that.
So, yeah. Something that I want to make sure people understand, there are still 7,000 tickets left for this game. I think people are assuming this game is a sellout. This game is not a sellout. And I'll tell you, another game that's not close to a sellout, it's Indiana. That's not a sellout either, the homecoming game. How'd you like the Millen Peyton Manning story? Did you like that?
That's a good one. I like that. I would not have thought that he had a flip phone.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
I like my flip phone real well.
And the show spirals toward an uncomfortable crescendo. Boy, I miss Jennifer.
They need to have Peyton Manning back on Saturday Night Live. He was really good there.
Boy, do I miss Jennifer. They've been on for a few minutes, but just kind of felt like there was a real show flow to it.
Again, oh, well. I'm still in the room. You do know that, right?
Oh, I'm not shy about saying it to your face.
It's painfully obvious.
High school football half hour coming up next. Shikalimi is at Sealands Grove coming up on Friday night. Tomorrow night, we'll get both announcers.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, K-Routes 11 and 15, Humble's Wharf. Tomorrow at the North Street Auto Mall, There'll be an emotional scene that we may just do a live broadcast from because of how disgusting it'll be.
Actually, no, that's the place that's going to be great, Steve.
No, it's you're whining, moaning, complaining, don't take this away, fetal position, kicking, screaming, until then they give you another car.
Right, right. That's where it'll be good.
Yes, but you have to remember, you seem to forget the last part.
Yeah, it's the Kia dealership is where the tears come in.
Oh, you got to go to Hummel's Wharf.
Yeah, see, I got to go to Hummel's Wharf first. Then they pry the key fob out of my hand, and then we start with a new week, and that means another Periscope video of the vehicle of the week, and we'll debut it Friday night during the football game.
Wonderful. Periscope.
Yes. If you follow me on Twitter at Kevin Herr, you'll be able to link up to the Periscope feed.
Fabulous. I feel like Robert Mitchum in that movie. All right. Let's get to the games. Here are the games we'll be looking at. In a few minutes, we'll talk to Matt Catrillo. Lewisburg off to a great start. We'll play at Mount Carmel on 100.9 The Valley. Airtime set for 6:30. Steve Williams will have the Tomato Bowl matchup, North Penn at Milton on 1380 WMLP, airtime 6:30. Sealands Grove will be at home with Shikellamy on Eagle 107 at 6. And we'll talk to Pat in a moment, and you'll hear it on WKOK, the Shikellamy broadcast, at 3:30 Pacific time. All right, so...
That is true, and it will be 3:30 Pacific time.
Mm-hmm. And knowing you, you'll think it's Eastern time, and I can't do the show today. Okay, let's bring
in
Pat
what I'm
O'Brien.
Hoping, actually, but
boy, I miss Jennifer. All right, Pat O'Brien's with us. Hi, Pat. Welcome.
Hi, Steve. Thanks for having me on once again.
It's great to have you on again. They're off to a great start. Why?
Well, they were able to overcome some adversity a week ago, and they did it in the fourth quarter with two late scores after falling behind 7-0 to Mount Carmel. The Sealands Grove Seals were able to put some offense together when it just looked like it wasn't going to happen. But sophomore quarterback Logan Livey was able to manage two touchdowns, one to Colin Hoke, and then another one to fellow sophomore Tony Dresser for the go-ahead and eventual winning touchdown. So you say how? Well, defense kept them in it. Kept three-quarter shutout until 6 minutes to go, and Mark Carmel scored on a 75-yard touchdown run. So defense kept them in it. And then finally they found some offense and scored twice and took the lead. So adversity, but they overcame it, and they won, and they went away very happy following that game.
When you get off to that 2-0 start, discuss some momentum that maybe you're starting to see at this stage, because now you're going to hit the third game of the season. It's going to be 30% mark of the year.
I tell you, the way the game ended, you know, there's a lot of games where you get off to an early start and you kind of hang on at the end, but the momentum they built up in the fourth quarter, it was unbelievable last half of that fourth quarter. So I think the momentum picked up from that moment on. I know a lot of talk is about you, how much you improve from the first game to the second game. Well, I'm looking forward to see how much they improved from 6:26 of the fourth quarter to the end of the game, and the confidence that they gained in their sophomore quarterback to lead the team into two scores. Momentum is big right now, I think, after that win.
All right, now you get Shikellamy coming in. Discuss the rivalry aspect of this because of proximity.
Well, it's amazing. If you talk to people from 25 years ago, the rivalry is very different in conversation than it is this day and age. A lot of these kids play together in different off-season type stuff. They know each other well. Social media keeps them in contact with each other. So I think the big difference is the rivalry is felt once you cross the line to the football field. I don't think it carries, and maybe I'm wrong, and you know, people could tell me different, but I just don't think it carries that same intensity leading up to the game that it may have 20 years ago. But I tell you, once you cross that line, and it's very unique, a rivalry at this point with Derek Hicks, head coach of Seals Grove, and his brother-in-law Todd Tilford of Shikellamy, you know, that creates a very interesting element to the rivalry. So it's there, no doubt about it, but I think it's a little different than it was years gone by.
6 o'clock on Eagle 107. Pat, thanks so much. Appreciate it very much. Have a great call.
Thank you, Steve. Appreciate you having me on.
All right, Pat O'Brien, the Shikellamy side of the story. And we bring in Kevin Herr.
It's great to be with you again, Steve. You know, you talked about the rivalry, and Pat talked about the family relationship here. Both coaches' wives were Shikellamy cheerleaders as well.
As Steve Williams called in yet?
No, not
is
yet.
Is Matt Cotrillo in the studio yet?
Yes, as a matter of fact, he is.
Oh, good. Good. But just hang in there. Just hang in there. He's about to go on one of his rants.
But I asked Coach Tilford about that. I said, is this week a little bit different family-wise than any other week? And he goes, you know, we see each other a lot. We talk to each other a lot. But he said, I have to admit, this week, we don't really say anything. He said, it's just an interesting week where everything's kept close to the vest. So it's just a fun part of the rivalry. And a lot of the people that are going to be on the Sealands Grove side of the stands were actually Shikellamy grads and moved to Sealands Grove. And now their kids play for Sealands Grove. And some of the folks from Sealands Grove have moved to Shikellamy. So that's the kind of rivalry it is. I agree with the friendly rivalry aspect.
I realize the teams that they have faced are a combined 4-0 right now. Is that the biggest reason why Shikellamy's 0-2, just because of the quality of opponent?
Well, I think that has a lot to do with it. I mean, they play maybe the three toughest teams on their schedule. And that's not saying that anybody else isn't going to be tough, but when you throw everything together, you're looking at three playoff teams, three teams that have perennially been in the playoffs within the last 5 to 6 years especially, and a team like Jersey Shore that now has figured out how to win games. And we talk about that a lot at the high school level. It's learning how to win. And we saw that last week with Shikellamy up 28-14. Jersey Shore really believed they were still in the ballgame. If that would have been 8 years ago, during a long stretch where Jersey Shore had struggled, it might have been a different story. But they're probably one of the toughest stretches right now of any team in high school football in the state of Pennsylvania.
All right, so what do they need to do?
Well, it'll be nice to have Gabe Tilford back. He'll be back at both the running back position and at linebacker. His skill set was really missed last week with a lot of runs up the middle. He's a good run stopper. We'll also have an opportunity to see him on the offensive side of the ball, give Sean Turber a little bit of a break and a change-up back. I think that's going to be big for the offense. Offensively, the Braves have moved the ball. That has not been the problem. Defensively is what I know Coach Tilford has been working on the last couple of weeks and trying to shore some things up, making some personnel changes in the secondary, which I thought played a little bit better this past week. They did give up some big plays, and if they can get away from the big plays, they'll be all right. They'll be able to hang in this game and very likely come out with a close battle with Sealands Grove and maybe even the win. But again, can't give up the big plays, and that's one of the things that's really hurt the Braves, not only in the Shikellamy-Sealands Grove games, but also this year.
I'm sorry to the other announcers. Kevin took up all your time.
Well, you know, it's what I do. You know, again, brevity is not something I was blessed with.
Dave Ritchie's at Notre Dame this week, so Tim Four will be on the broadcast with Kevin, 6:30 on WKOK. Tomato Bowl, it's going to be Milton at home against North Penn, and joining us is Steve Williams. Steve, welcome back, my friend. Great to have you with us.
Hey, thanks a lot, Steve. Sorry I was a little late there. I got caught up in some other things, but I'm here now.
No, we're great to have you. It'll be on 1380 WMLP beginning at 6:30. Talk about the emotion in a game like this.
Well, I tell you what, you know, Milton is right there. They are 0-2, but they're just a play or two away. In the last two games, they were ahead and let victory slip through their fingers and, you know, lost in the last minutes of both of the games. So they're right there. They've got a running back that'll have almost 400 yards in two games and six touchdowns, just to let you know how they move the ball up and down the field on the back of Brandon Stokes. But, yeah, you know, this tomato bowl, it's a big deal for these kids to win this. They hate to come up short. They've won it the last several years. Got a real tough opponent in North Penn. North Penn really had their way with them last year. Real wide-open offense. They play no huddle. They throw the ball a lot. They've scored, I think it's like 96 points in their first two games, albeit not real tough opponents. But they can light up the scoreboard, no doubt about it.
All right, so why is Milton playing better this year, Steve? Because, you know, as you mentioned, they've had leads in the second half, and they've had opportunities to really get one and get some confidence. Why are they playing better?
Well, it's the experience that they have. They've got a lot of guys that have a year or two under their belt of varsity experience. Kids really matured over the summer. That's one of the biggest differences. The most noticeable difference is, you know, they look like they were in the weight room, did some workouts. You know, they've gone from the little roly-poly freshman sophomores to some pretty good-looking juniors and seniors. Problem is that there's just not a lot of them.
All right, so keys to tomorrow night's game, in your opinion. What has to happen for Milton to break through and win the Tomato Bowl game?
Well, they got to keep scoring with Brandon Stokes. Nobody's been able to figure out how to stop him. The offensive line's been doing a good job opening holes for him. I mean, there's no surprise what they're going to do. Brandon's going to run the football. So they've got to keep doing that. They're going to have to really get a heck of a game out of their linebackers with the short passing game that North Penn has. They've got a really good skilled group of kids that, you know, are going to do well there. One of the things that North Penn has made no secret about is that they know that there's not a lot of extra bodies. They're not going to be able to substitute anyway, even if they did have extra bodies with that no huddle, and they hope to wear them down that way.
Steve, always a pleasure. Thanks for carving out a few minutes for us. You'll have the call tomorrow night on 1380 WMLP at 6:30.
Thanks, Steve.
All right, Matt Cotrillo and Lewisburg will play at Mount Carmel on the Valley 100.9 at 6:30 tomorrow night. Matt, you have a 2-0 football team. Why?
Well, you know why? Because of their second-half play, and very strong second-half play. And I'll tell you what, Steve, they basically have seen everything. They've gone through all the different adversities you can think of, you know, what they dealt with at Chickalemme week one, a back-and-forth game last week against Montoursville. And down the stretch, they were the ones that stayed poised, stayed composed, and Montoursville was the one who gave up a lot of mistakes, and Lewisburg was able to take advantage of and get the 10-point win in a game that had a lot of hype last week. You know, possible first-place implications depending on what happens with Southern Columbia the rest of the way. You know, the WBRE was there live for their morning show on Friday morning. Plus, the game was televised on my network. So, you know, I thought they really handled themselves very well. And that's a great tribute to head coach Michael Ferreiro and that whole coaching staff, the way they've done so far. I've been very impressed with them.
Everyone talks about the week one to week two improvement. Where was Lewisburg better last week, Matt?
Probably just overall second half play. You know, they were good in that first game against Chickalemme. You know, they still given up some of the big plays, you know, so I think you saw some of that on the defensive side. Offensively, they started to get the pass game going a little bit better. So I think you saw that. They started forcing more turnovers. So a couple slight things, but overall, I mean, they've played so well that you really haven't seen anything that's really jumped out as something was better than the other.
Mont Carmel's been up and down early. What are the keys tomorrow night?
Well, there's going to be a lot of early emotion from Mount Carmel because they faced their former teammate in Dominic Farinato, who was their quarterback last year and now turned running back with Lewisburg. So if Lewisburg can kind of deal with that early, whether the storm in the early part of the game, I think they'll be able to do just fine. And also, too, is stopping the run. You know, Montoursville got the run game going, especially from Ben Cerny last week and Keith Badkowski. They had a lot of success against Lewisburg, but Lewisburg, again, was able to make the plays to win the game. And Lewisburg didn't really get the run game going a whole lot. They struggled a little bit with that last week. You know, a lot of the points was through the pass game. That's how they moved the football. So the running game, both sides of the football, is going to be really key if Lewisburg's going to stay undefeated.
All right, that's 6:30 tomorrow night on 100.9 The Valley. Lewisburg will be at Mount Carmel, 7 o'clock kick, 6:30 the airtime. Matt, thanks so much. Have a great broadcast tomorrow.
Thank you very much, Steve.
All right, so our thanks to Pat O'Brien. He'll have Seelands Grove's call against Shikellamy on Eagle 107 beginning at 6. Steve Williams, the Tomato Bowl with North Penn at Milton. That'll be at 6:30 on 1380 WMLP. Matt Catrillo with the call of Lewisburg at Mount Carmel on 100.9 The Valley at 6:30. And the Shikellamy broadcast is on WKOK at 6:30. With you.
I hope so, unless I get suspended from play and can only do games in practice.
Wakeman sounds available. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. I know you love this theme.
This is my second favorite. The basketball is better yet.
The basketball one?
Yeah, CBS basketball.
Oh, I see. You actually listen to this stuff?
Of course. It's good stuff.
Let's get to the game. I have no idea. Do they play music at the start of our thing?
Yes.
Do they?
And they do coming back from breaks and from commercials.
Oh, okay.
There's no Penn State. The only thing that...
Just so people know, we can't hear any of
right,
that stuff.
Right. You don't hear any of that. Right.
We hear nothing of it. They point to us and we start talking. So we don't hear any of that stuff. That's why I asked. I said, do they play music? What kind of music they play? I mean, you know. Van Halen, what?
Yeah, the gentleman that actually is the voice that you hear before the games is Paul Turner.
Okay.
That's the guy who does all the voice stuff for opens, closes, for each segment.
Oh, okay.
This is actually what he actually did for WKOK years ago.
News Radio 1070 WKOK. We are Penn State.
Okay.
That's the same voice that you hear at the beginning of the tailgate show, the beginning of the basketball broadcasts, and each segment of the football broadcast, and at the end, too.
Now people are going to sit back and say, really? It's all news to me.
That's the same. And a few moments ago before the show started with Inside Penn State Athletics.
Well, now that I hear because I assembled.
Right, because you put that together.
I put that together. But when we do games, we don't hear anything. We don't hear a commercial. We don't hear opens, whatever. They just point to us and we go. So they'll say, you got 30 seconds. Okay. I'll be in the booth in 20. Pirates lost today 9-6.
Were they playing the Brewers? Pirates,
yep, played the Cubs. The Pirates, within a span of 40 hours, saw the magic number go from 18 to 13. That's not good.
No.
That's not good. At all. They lost today 9-6. They lost the last three games to the Cubs. All right. Pirate fans, let me inform you of something. As you keep your eye on St. Louis, the Cubs are closer to you than you are to St. Louis. To quote the card shark in Casino Royale, oops.